Now in its third year, it's A Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels, talking about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Sit back and enjoy, everybody. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 200 of A Yank on the Footy. Yes, it's episode 200. Technically, it's about 246 with a couple of preview episodes and quite a few live episodes that I have done over the last few years. But this is technically, I guess we'll go ahead and say it's episode 200. I'm Craig Wessels, coming to you from Sandusky, Ohio, and thanks for giving this episode a listen. I'm going to be sitting down here in just a few minutes to go through the tips for the second round of finals with my special guest. Now, don't forget, folks, if you are interested in having your local footy club get a shout-out during an upcoming episode, be sure to drop me a note via email or shoot me a note on Messenger, over on Facebook, over on Twitter. You can even leave me a note on my website, yankonthefooty.com. And in fact, if you go there, there are links to all of my socials on my website. And also, if you haven't had a chance to do so yet, I do hope you'll maybe give a listen to the last half of episode 186. Still working on a great, fun project for my mom for her 80th birthday, which is coming up here very soon. And if you want to help out with that, that would be absolutely wonderful. Now, today's Club of the Episode is being sponsored by MickAussie.tv, and MickAussie.tv is run by Kim Harrison, as we call him, Mick Aussie, here in North America. And Mick lives up in the Edmonton, Canada area. He's been running his sports comedy channel for many, many years. Focuses mainly on the AFL, CFL, and the NFL. A little bit of NBA and NHL mixed in there as well. He was a pretty solid footy player himself in South Australia before he headed up to the Northern Territories for a little while. And today's club of the episode are the Wickham Wolves Football Club of the North Pilbara Football League. And Wickham, and I had to look this up on a map, and I found this, and it's up in the neck of the woods of where Michael Gallus spent the last several months. It's about 1,600 kilometers north of Perth, right along the coastline. And the community, not the club, the community was founded recently in 1970. So I say recently, yes, that's 52 years ago. But to me, it's recent when you're 59. 52 years ago is fairly recent. The Wolves actually finished in third place on the ladder in the NPFL this year behind Karratha and Dampier. I have a list of all the different clubs in the local leagues around the country. And if I don't hear from people, I go through and look for a name that I want to give a shout-out to, and I'll research them a little bit online. I wasn't able to find a whole lot about the club. Their website led me to, I think it's not up anymore, it led me to a Chinese domain sales site. So they've been around for not too terribly long. If the community's only been around since 1970. I absolutely love the logo, though. It's a really great-looking wolf, and the stylized W on the logo was really, really sharp. It's the kind of one that if you have it in a sticker form, you really want to be able to display something like that because it's really, really sharp-looking. Now, I know the club is going to be having their awards ceremony coming up on the 17th of September at 6 o'clock at the Rambla Bar and Bistro. And Wolves, you know, third place on the ladder, not too shabby at all. Congratulations on a great, great year. And ladies and gentlemen, again, the club of the episode was sponsored by MickAussie.tv. And Mick, thanks so very much for that, man. And again, don't forget, if you want to check out my website, you can find everything there about the podcast. If you want to help out the show, you could do that by leaving a review, especially if you enjoy the show. It really, really does help because it allows me to share your thoughts with prospective listeners to let them know that I have a little bit of credibility with people who have enjoyed the program. If you want to help out the show monetarily, you don't have to, but it's wonderful if you want to consider doing that to help keep the lights on, so to speak. You can check out my Buy Me a Coffee page, or if you want to get some gear from the podcast, a sticker, a t-shirt, something of that nature, you can go over to my Redbubble page, which is linked there as well. And we have two games in the AFL this weekend. Both of them are being broadcast on, I believe, Fox Sports 1 here in North America. And quite a few of the women's games in the AFLW are going to be on Fox Soccer Plus this weekend. So if you happen to have that, you can find a lot of the games there as well. And I'm absolutely thrilled to have Mick coming on with me. So why don't we go ahead and jump into my chat with Mick?
All right. Hey, Mick, welcome back to the podcast, sir. How are you doing? Yeah, good mate. It's been a few crazy days. Went to Calgary for the CFL Elks versus Stampeder game. That was fantastic. Beautiful day. And did the Go Elks show yesterday and caught up on all the AFL podcasts and news today. And of course, NFL. So it's all go. My three favorite sports all happening right
Yes,
now.
yes. And there and as we're recording this, I think it's the Rams in Buffalo who are playing this evening. They're getting ready to start out here in just a few minutes. I think they're playing out they're playing in Los Angeles, and I can't keep track of the stadium names. I think it's SoFi Stadium, but I don't know. It's whoever decided to write the biggest check for the building, because I know that the one in where they're playing the Super Bowl in Phoenix has changed names to State Farm Insurance one, which means my rates are going up to pay for naming rights. I never went to the University of Phoenix, but I do have State Farm Insurance, so now I know I'm paying more for that. But yeah, so I'm for those of you that didn't listen, I did put out my NFL preview episode. I don't spend a lot of time talking about the NFL on here because I like to devote it to footy, but I know so many of you are also NFL fans. I actually traded a couple notes with Tom Duda on Twitter this morning. His top seven in the AFC and mine, we had all the same teams in a little bit of a different order, and he had one difference on his than I had with mine in the NFC. And but it's and I didn't I'll just go ahead and say, if you haven't listened yet, I did not have my Browns making the playoffs this year, and as much as it pains me. But before we jump in to talk about the games from last week and then the two games coming up this week, you've got something going on with your former club, and I had them as a club of the episode a while back, actually when you were on the podcast initially, the South Gawler Lions. And what is going on with them, sir?
Well, as you know, very similar jersey to the your Geelong Cats. The blue is not as dark, but that's the 92 flag jersey we had. They've changed their style now, but they won the premiership last year. But get this, well, they're back into the grand final next weekend. But last year in the grand final, I started watching it on a Friday night. This is true. They were down 57 to nothing just before halftime. I was
Wow.
so disgusted. I turned it off, went to bed, woke up in the morning, and they had won from 57 to nothing. And the coach of the other team is the ex-Crows, Andrew Jarman, the radio guy. And I couldn't believe it. So it ended a big drought since 1993, but a very successful club. Won as m many, many premierships in the top three or four in Australia. So they might go back to back in the Broselite and Gawler, South Australia.
So do you think that the Dockers took some tips from them last week? Because I'll be honest with you, watching that game, I thought, well, they're done. I didn't, the weather held off. So I that as I said, if the weather holds off, I think Fremantle was going to win it. But my goodness, did they come out laying an absolute egg at the outset of that game last week?
Yeah, well, a lot of it would have been nerves, absolutely, in
Oh,
front of
that's
the
true
big
too.
crowd. First time the Dockers have been back in the finals for quite a few years. But quickly back to Gawler South. They knew they were fitter than Willesden, but to come back from that is just absolutely bizarre. But good on the Dockers getting the win. I'm glad for them. And yeah, it was
Yeah.
kind of a crazy game, really.
That's a 9.5 goal deficit that they overcame. That's
Yeah,
called math. That's math. I just did math right there. So, write that down. It's the 8th of September. I just did math. We had one other, the games this weekend, of course, being a Cat supporter, I was pretty pleased with the results. It was a little bit of a nail biter. And I know if you're a Richmond supporter, you're not too terribly thrilled with the ARC system. Dimas certainly is not. I think, hang on. Quiet down for just a second. Yeah, he just complained about it again. But I honestly think, in the 7 years that I've been watching the game, and you I can't think of a better weekend of football ever. I mean, this was these, yes, the Dockers, got down by a large margin, but the fact that they came back and won that thing just was kind of the icing on the cake for, I think, one of the most exciting weekends of all time. I mean, you had,
Sydney kind of ran away from Melbourne a little bit, but you know, you had a 2-point game with Richmond and Brisbane, you know, 6-point game with the Pies and the Cats, and Fremantle, you know, eventually got up by a couple of goals on the Bulldogs, though.
They were fantastic. Really enjoyed the Brisbane win, and most people believe they got that decision right, that it would have touched the extended goalpost. Love the Sydney win over the Demons. That was great. And then, of course, the Collingwood game against you guys. Wow, that could have gone either way. So you guys got a little bit lucky, but really, really good footy.
It definitely could have gone either way. And, you know, it was that, dare I say, it was that, it's a good thing it was a Cats home game. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, good thing it was a Cats home game. Oh, I brought that up again, didn't I? Sorry about that. So, you know, you mentioned something to me, and I knew that he had said it, but it didn't dawn on me to bring it up. But one of your friends who is, you know, who I had on the podcast back in episode 131, he previewed one of the 18 clubs this year. And again, I had somebody on for every club except the Tigers, and I'm hoping to do the Tigers first next year. But this was Chris Freeman, who happened to be in Canada at the time when I recorded this. But he said something that you and I both were like, no way, it's not happening. Are they going to drug test him before he gets on the flight to go home? And what did he say? Because, you know, you reminded me about this, you know, earlier today, and I thought we should go ahead and bring this up.
Well, as we know, Collingwood came 17th last year, and they appointed the new coach, Craig McRae, from he's a South Australian. And Freemo said they were going to make the eight. And I kind of chuckled at that, and I think you did a little bit as well. So
I didn't think it would happen.
Great call from my former coach, mate, playing mate in Burnaby. Very good call.
You know what, though? On a technicality, we could say he was only half right because they didn't make the eight. They made the four.
Yeah, even better.
So we're not going to give him – we're going to give him partial credit on that one there. So, you know, as I was reading through some news stories today as well, and I was over on ZeroHanger.com, and I ran across Ed Carmine's piece that was posted a little bit earlier today. And he's reporting that Dustin Martin has told the Tigers that he plans on returning to the Tigers for at least the next 2 years. And he said that however, as reported by Sam McClure on Sports Day Radio on Thursday evening, the three-time premiership and triple Norm Smith winner has reportedly told the Richmond Power Brokers that his heart and future remain at Punt Road. So if anybody else was hoping to bring in that dynamic guy, sounds like he's staying home.
Well, I'm a bit like you. You're not admitting it, but I can tell you're not a Tigers fan. I'm not a Tigers fan. And, you know, they're whining too much about that missed goal, the arc. But that said, I do like it when a legend of a team finishes his career at that team. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, mainly, good on Tigers. They're a close-knit club. Neil Baum, the guy in charge, is a legend. So good on Dusty. Glad he's actually staying there, even though I don't like that black and yellow mob.
Yeah, I'm in, and I'm and by the way, I should say, you know, that you know, if you listen to my preview, I am a Browns fan, but I was not kind to the Browns in the episode. But Mick has been trying to recruit me and is wearing his, I think that's a Romanowski jersey, if I'm not mistaken.
Von Miller.
Oh, that's a Von Miller. But I think Romanowski wore that number too, did he not? Or did he wore 59?
I should know that. 56,
I think he wore 59 because you've met him before.
Yes,
you
I have.
And you know what? I knew it was Von Miller because it couldn't have been Romanowski because it didn't have spit on the front of it. Because he had a tendency of spitting on players from time to time. But I know you've met him before. So it was, but he's wearing that to just kind of, you know, and I had to show Mick the stuff about the 1980s. Yeah, he's got his coffee mug as well. About the heartbreak that the Browns had at the hands of the Broncos. Now, did you go back and look at any of that stuff at all?
No, not yet. I will. Okay. I love what
you have to, because once you look at that stuff, you're going to understand why I will have nothing to do with the Broncos. Okay, I mean that's it's never going to happen. You know what? I stand corrected. if somebody said that I had to, if I couldn't support any other team in the league, and they said I had to support either the Broncos or the Ravens, I despise the Ravens even more. So I would be donning the blue and orange. Okay.
So are you leading into this because you finally admit you don't like the Richmond Tigers? Is that why you went this way?
No. I'm just talking about the jersey. I don't dislike any club because like okay. I said, I don't have that in my DNA. In fact, I'm wearing a yellow shirt tonight here.
Okay.
I don't dislike him, but I just it never really registered with me. And again, this is me being the new person in the game that's only been following it for a while. And I guess it never clicked with me that if the ball going directly over top of the goal, if the post was a foot higher, it would have hit the post. See, that never really, I mean, and I know that, but I didn't let that register in my brain. I know that if it hits the post, it's a point.
Right.
I get it, but it just that didn't dawn on me at the time. And even until you said that it went directly over the top of the post, I'm thinking, well, yeah, that would be a point. And I'm like, holy shit, it would be just a point, wouldn't it?
Well, talking about talk while we're on the subject of mucking up, I mucked up. Look at this. I got a new phone and the girlfriend says, what color phone cover do you want? Do you want something different instead of black? Do you want blue? I said, yeah, I'll take blue. Well, I didn't realize it was teal blue. This is Port Adelaide Power Papsmear's colors. I couldn't believe I did it. Black and teal blue on my new phone. So every day now I'm reminded of Port Adelaide Power. So I'm going to have to swap and get a new phone case.
Let me ask you a question. What have you searched on online? Do they, and I don't know this, but do they make club specific phone cases for the AFL? I've never seen one, but I would think that they would always try to capitalize on bringing every dollar they could. So I don't see why they wouldn't have that sort of thing.
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, that may be something worth looking for then to find out, but so Dusty's sticking around. I think that's good for that club. And I think, you know, if he's back healthy next year, Jack Riewoldt has signed on for at least one more year. You know, Tom Lynch will probably be healthy. Trent Cotchin signed on for another year as well this week. You know, it's like the old saying, they're getting the band back together from the Blues Brothers. They may be a step slower, but they blooded some young kids this year. So I still think that's a club that could definitely and probably will contend for a spot in the eight even next year.
Yeah, I think you're right. I was a little surprised that Trent Cotchin went on. He's been a bit down, but hey, maybe he had some injuries and they think he can go another year.
Well, or maybe they look at, possibly moving him into a position that doesn't require quite as much physicality and stamina as he has had to have playing in the midfield. Maybe they move him around on the ground a little bit more, kind of like what the Magpies did with Scott Pendlebury.
Yeah. Well,
it could happen.
I think we've spent enough time on
it. Oh, yeah, I know.
But, got beaten. They got beaten.
Yes, they did. They did.
Reconfirm
they got
beaten.
That's right. So, you know, the one other little bit of good news that I saw that was kind of interesting was the McCartan brothers both signed extensions with the Swans in the last couple of days. Tommy McCartan signed on for another 4 years, which will see him with Sydney through 2027. And Patty McCartan, who'd been out of the game, signed on for two more years, which is going to take him through 2024. I think it was 2 years. He might have signed on for one more year that's taking him through 2024. So, I mean, I'm glad to see that he's made it through the season thus far healthy, because I know he's had a serious issue with concussions in his short career. So I'm thrilled to see that he's doing all right. But it's just it's nice to see clubs being able to retain the players that they want to retain. You know, and especially clubs that are, you know, not necessarily Melbourne-based clubs, because, you know, a lot of those players will want to, you know, head maybe back to their home state at some point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sydney's been known for quite a few years now to be a very well-run club. So that's good news. And, I'm liking their chances definitely to make the grand final with that home field next week.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't even think I'm going to bring it up. I don't think I'm going to mention that, you know, every club except the team that actually won the minor premiership will be playing a home game in the finals. I'm not going to bring that up though. So, you know, I have to ask you this because I don't know what's going on there, but what is happening with Essendon? I mean, has it become a clown show? You know, Ross Lyon has now said, you know, because a lot of people thought that he was going to be the next guy they were going to go after for the position of senior coach. And he's now said, you know what, I don't even want to be involved in the process of figuring out who you want, which sounds like it means he doesn't even want to consider himself for that. You know, people are saying Leon Cameron might be the guy for the job, but there are other people who are advocating, you know, bringing back James Hurd. Now, he left the club before I started following the game, so you have a little bit more insight on this, but didn't he leave, you know, when the club was under a pretty significant dark cloud?
Oh, absolutely. One of their best players of all time, the great forward player, then took over from Kevin Sheedy directly, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, there was they got off to a huge, great start one season. People thought, what's going on here? So, yeah, they got in a lot of trouble with drugs, so forth. No one still really knows exactly what they were putting in their system. And some people still believe it wasn't illegal. Well, I made my mind up when I heard that they were getting injected with needles. That was enough for me to say, yeah, this is not too good. So,
okay,
he was run off. The AFL, you know, put some sanctions on the Bombers, and pretty massive story actually in the history of the whole AFL VFL. So, not good. Kevin Sheedy apparently pushing for James Hurd to get back there, but I think it would be absolutely ludicrous. It would tear the club even more apart because half of their fans might want him. The other half would say, no way. So I hope it doesn't happen. They were my favorite team before the Crows came in.
Yeah. I just wonder. I remember a comedian, and it's a similar thing. I remember a comedian seeing a comic years ago, you know, talking about how, you know, men and women who had been previously married get divorced and then get married to one another again. And the analogy he was making, it's like, you know, going to the refrigerator and getting the carton of milk out of the fridge and opening it up and going, ooh, that's spoiled. Let me put it back in the fridge. Maybe it'll be fresh tomorrow. I mean, this is, it's like, you know, and you may not know this, but the New York Yankees, the baseball team, there was a guy by the name of Billy Martin, and Billy Martin managed from the the late 60s into the 70s and even into the 80s, but he managed the Detroit Tigers, the Texas Rangers, the Oakland A's when they won a couple World Series. But he was hired and fired as the manager of the New York Yankees by George Steinbrenner, not once, not twice, but five different times. He hired him, fired him five times.
Wow.
Is this, Hurd strategy coming in and thinking, hey, look what happened with Billy Martin. It worked for him. Maybe I can get another shot. And again, I'm not taking a shot at James Hurd because, again, I don't know the whole story there, but I'm just wondering if you know, he might be the right name for the job, but is he the best guy for the job? There's another person I've heard. He's an assistant with Melbourne right now. It's his first name is A-D-E-M, and I think his last name is like Y-Z-A.
Yes, Adam Uze. They reckon thought he was going to get the GWS job, I believe. So his name's been
I've seen his name spread
around. But basically, they're in a mess. Essendon's in a mess. When you got the committee and CEOs and whatever all arguing and fighting, well, then people don't want to go there. And Ross Lyon said, no, this is a mess. But you know what? Ross Lyon's a bit too defensive for my liking, but hey, whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, I just don't know what's going to be going on there. But, you know, we've got two games this weekend. You know, two clubs getting a second chance to play in the final round before the finals, and it's just you know, two clubs who have whose backs are against the wall. Again, if you lose here, you're done. But I reached out to some folks and got some thoughts on them in terms of what they were thinking about the games. And I'll kind of work those in as we go along here. But, you know, the first game, you've got Brisbane heading off to the MCG, and they are facing off against the Melbourne Demons. And Brisbane got the win against the Tigers, and the D's lost last week against the Sydney Swans. Now, no changes for the D's this weekend. No changes at all as of this morning when I looked at the teams that were announced. Now, in for Brisbane, Cam Rayner, Darcy Fort, and Noah Answorth. Jackson Pryor omitted, Mitch Robinson omitted, Oscar McInerney out with an illness, and Reese Matheson omitted. Now, McInerney got a thump on the nose at the outset of the game last week. I think he broke his nose, if I'm not mistaken. He was out the rest of the game, and I thought when he went out, Brisbane was done, because I had no idea who was going to come in and take over in the ruck position, and they filled it handsomely and did a decent job to finish off the game. But no Mitch Robinson either, which, you know, I know he's getting a little long in the tooth in terms of footy goes, but, you know, still is a hard-nosed guy out there who's not afraid to put a hip into somebody and knock him ass over apple cart.
Yeah, well, interesting. Obviously, Cam Rayner's a big in, the former number one pick. And Darcy Fort, a former Geelong Cat.
Yes.
In three seasons, he played 8 games there, formerly of Central Districts, near where I grew up. 25 games he's played, so I think he might do okay. But, yes, very interesting game. I'll talk about the Demons in a minute, but I'm hoping the Lions can win, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm they got no Oscar McInerney. And they're bringing Ford in, and Ford has one hell of a job that he's facing here with, you know, having to face the D's Ruck Hydra with Luke Jackson and Max gone there. I mean, that's going to be a tough matchup for him. And we'll see how he does.
Yeah, absolutely. And just running through the Lions' best players from last week, Neil, fantastic in the middle. Mm-hmm. Cluggage, Bailey, Robertson, McStay, and Starcevic. So I'm glad they got the win, but their record at the MCG is not good. The Demons beat them at the Gabba in round 23, but there was outs with COVID for the Lions. And then in round 15, they beat them at the MCG quite well by 64 points.
Yeah.
Demons are favored by 18.5. I'd like to think the Lions can get closer than that, but you don't know with the Demons. Yeah, they're just up and down.
That's true. Now, the thing we have not talked about that I think we have to talk about is, even though there have been no changes made as of right now, how healthy is Christian Petrarca? Supposedly he has a hairline fracture in one of his lower leg bones. Now, I think you've watched some footy in your day, if I'm not mistaken. You might have even played a couple of games here or there, if I'm not mistaken. But there's a little bit of torque involved in moving around the ground. It's not always straight lines. There's a lot of lateral movement. There's a lot of side to side. There's a lot of cutting and that type of thing. I really wonder how well arguably their best player is going to hold up in this game. I think that could be a serious issue for them. You know, maybe they're going to make a contingency plan for him. I'm going to bet you a nickel that their meta sub is somebody who plays in the midfield.
Right.
They have to do that, I would think, because they did not name their sub as of yet. Their emergencies were Bedford, Bowie, Jacob Van Ruin, and Joel Smith. Whoever's going to be their meta sub has got to be a midfielder in case something happens to Petrarca, because I don't know how he's going to hold up. But you said you're going with the D's to win this one?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I think you're right. I think that's a big risk with Melbourne playing Petrarca. Let's say they inject him with some painkillers, but the danger of that is he might not come up the next week and he might hurt it even more. So they named him fifth best player. He had 15 kicks and 9 handballs. I watched the game really closely. I didn't think he was that high up in the best players.
Yeah.
But He's a fantastic player.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Now, I did want to mention, though, that there are instances where people have played in this type of a situation, and I'm going all the way back to Super Bowl 14. Okay, I'm going back to Super Bowl 14, the Los Angeles Rams and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Jack Youngblood, who is a Hall of Fame defensive end from the Rams, broke his. He had a cracked fibula, and he told the trainers and such, this is a defensive end, so he's like 6'6 and about 270, you know, facing off against the offensive tackles all day. He said, tape it up, I'm playing. And he had, I think he had a couple sacks, several tackles and such. Now the Rams lost that game. This is a guy who played in a Super Bowl on a broken leg. So I guess maybe Petrarca could do this. Now, the Cats fan in me, and I'm going with the Lions to win this one, because my thinking is,
wow,
it's hard in the NFL. It's very difficult for this to happen. It's hard for a team to beat another team three times in one season. It does not happen very often. And yes, I know that's been an average of 10 goals in the two losses that they had, but I just think that last week's, you know, big get over the hump win against the Tigers is going to carry them into this one. Okay. I do think the Lions are going to win. And I have to be honest with you, just a little small part of me picked the Lions, because if that's the case, it gives the Cats some semblance of an actual home field advantage the following week. Okay. Because not a lot of Lions supporters are going to make the trip down to Melbourne for the game. So I think the Lions are going to win it, but that's kind of my ulterior motive there.
Well, you just won't let that go, that home field. I might replace that bet at Lions plus 18 and a half.
So, I mean, well, and again, no, it's, you know, and I get it that they're going to play it there, but if it'd be great. That's why I was joking. I said, yeah, that's why I said, you know, maybe I'd love to see it, you know, be, you know, Sydney and Fremantle and Brisbane being left in the mix there. Cause then if the Cats get there, they're going to be playing somebody from out of state. That's going to work out well for them. They might get a few more loud voices in the stands than they otherwise would have had there, because, you know, it was pretty darn even last week against the Pies, you know, and I, like I said, I understand why they're doing it. It doesn't make it any more palatable for an American footy fan because, like I said, if you told the Packers, you know, let's say they're playing the Minnesota Vikings in a playoff game, and the league comes to the Packers and says, you know, it's really cold in Green Bay today, so we're gonna play this game in the dome in Minneapolis. Well, Packers fans would get on the road and drive there, and they'd tear down the stadium, is what they would do. Then say, no, we're playing it at our place.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to change the way things are going. So yeah, it's just I think it's kind of. It's one of those things that I just have still struggled with, but I get it. Now, we head into the second game of the weekend, and we've got the Magpies coming in a little bit beat up. You know, rumors are, you know, Jordan DeGoey may not be as healthy as he needs to be. Taylor Adams certainly is not going to be playing because, he sounds like he ripped his groin muscle right off the bone this past week. It did not look comfortable at all when he rolled over. You know, he's going to have surgery and hopefully come back healthy next year. But, you know, it's this is, I think, going to be a good matchup. You know, the Pies have had a remarkable season. You know, Fremo tipped them in the eight when a lot of people weren't doing that. You know, whatever happens this week, Fremantle has had a fantastic year. And if you're a Magpies supporter, you've got to be pretty damn thrilled about where your club is at right now, knowing where they're going to be next year with a lot of the youth that you have playing in that side right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope the Dockers win. I've actually gone for the Magpies. Again, the home field. The home field is, again, a deciding factor. Magpies are favored by 11.5. I put some money on them to win between 1 and 39. I do hope the Dockers get close and win. But my God, those Magpies, they could have had the week off because they nearly beat you boys. They missed some golden opportunities, especially in that first half with some missed goals. So they've done very, very well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Dockers, they've had a great year as well. They had a little bit of a lull, but there have been a lot of injuries. And the thing is, they've done this for the most part without their captain. You know, Nat Fyfe played, I think, in 5 or 6 games this year, but his contributions were really minimal because he's been so dinged up this year that he really hasn't been able to contribute. And I think that that's, he's not in the line. He's not listed in the lineup for this week as well. So they're going without him. In fact, I did see online that Matthew Tabiner did not even make the flight to Melbourne. So he's not even going to be in consideration to play this week. It looks like, the Dockers have got a tremendous young side that, you know, you got with Sarong and Brayshaw and Hayden Young, it's a good young club. And I think that the best is yet to come from this club yet. Although it does sound like there's a handful of players who are wanting to leave after this year. But, you know, as we saw in the last draft, they drafted some solid players and they were all from WA. So hopefully they'll stick around for the duration. I'm actually going with the Dockers on this one. Okay.
Wow.
To me, they're kind of playing with house money. You know, they won a game that you could argue they had no business winning after having gotten down, what was it, 41-1 or something like that. You know, they were down by 40 plus points, if I'm not mistaken. That's, you got to tip your cap to them for coming back and winning, but they've got to be thinking to themselves right now, yeah, we got that one. And, you know, let's just go ahead and throw it out there and see what happens. I'm going with the Dockers, you know, to win this one by 8. You know, I just think it's going to be a bit of an upset here. Again, I could be wrong. As I've told people throughout the year, please don't put any money down based upon what I say, because I don't know what I'm talking about. I just enjoy making these little predictions. And again, you know, the Pies went out to Optus back in week 10 and they beat the Dockers by 6 goals. I know I said with the last game, it's hard to beat a club 3 times in the same season. It's not necessarily 2 times, but I just have a feeling that Fremantle is going to get things turned around here and they're going to get the win this weekend.
Well, I hope you're right, and I will keep that bet on it, Dockers, to cover the 11.5 now because of your pick.
Oh, geez.
But you're right. You mentioned a few of their young guns, and their best players last week were Sarong, Brayshaw, Walters back in form the second half year, Young, Pierce in defense, Ryan, Clark, and Darcy, and Lobb got 2 goals as well. So I think this could be a close game. But MCG, 80,000 will be Magpies fans. A few thousand will be Dockers fans. Hope it's an absolute ripper close game. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow morning, Friday. Friday. It's a 5:50 start for the Lions game. The Lions and D's. And then it's 5:25 here on the East Coast Saturday morning for the second game of the weekend. So I'm pretty excited about it. It's I'll watch probably the first half of the game tomorrow, and then have to watch the rest of it during my lunch period tomorrow because I have a staff meeting in the morning, and then my kids will be in my room. And although they did get to see my first period class did get to see the end of the Brisbane and Tigers game last week. They got a lot of them showed up early, so like it carried over like 3 minutes into my class. At the outset of the period, after they were doing the announcements, so I turned the volume down, and I'm in the back of the room while the announcements are going on, and I'm pounding on the table in the back room, and like, all right, yeah, and again, this is me. I'm worried about the Tigers. The Tigers scare me because it's those damn Pittsburgh colors. Okay, I've been conditioned to not like the black and yellow. I respect them. I don't like the Steelers. I don't dislike the Tigers. I'm just afraid of them because they've won 3 out of the 7 grand finals that have taken place since I've been watching the game, or 3 out of the 6. So I worry about them. So now that they're not there, I'm thinking, okay, somebody else has got a shot now. So yeah, that's just kind of where my thoughts were there. So I think it's going to be a fun weekend, and you know, the Cats and the Swans are going to sit by and just wait to see who's coming up next. Hopefully everybody gets healthy for both of those sides and everybody comes out healthy this weekend. So whoever plays in the prelims, we have, you know, a couple fantastic games, but we're just a few weeks away from the grand final happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And the week off for the Cats and the Swans is huge. Right now, the Cats are favored to win the grand final at $2.50. Swans are second at $3.20. Then the D's at $5. Magpies, Dockers, Lions. So they're the odds for the grand final winner. And I really think it might be the Swans and the Cats. Although the Cats might have had a bit too much time off. You don't know.
Well, I don't know. You know, they're so old, it gives them a chance to sleep in, you know, get outside, do a little lawn bowling, you know, possibly head down to the pond and do a little fishing before they have to, you know, and, you know, get to the restaurant for the early bird special, you know, at 4:30 for dinner. So, Mick, where can people find you, sir?
All right. Mick Aussie, MYKAUSSIE.TV, and Twitter as well. I'm on a lot of that, and Sports Grid TV tomorrow night about 8:20 Eastern, sportsgrid.com, and type in Sports Grid on YouTube. But many options, Sirius Channel 159 as well, and we talk AFL, mm-hmm. NFL, and CFL.
And so once the AFL season wraps up, you transition over to exclusively CFL, NFL then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Gabe's a massive NFL guy. And as you know, it's the biggest sport in America. He's actually at the game now. He's a big Bills fan. So he's been in Vegas and then LA. So he's right there right now. And
he's from Montreal, is he not?
Yeah, he's from Montreal.
Yeah,
and so he played.
Makes sense that he's a Bills fan. That's kind of close to there.
Yeah, he paid $450 US for a ticket. I said, "Why didn't you get a media? Why didn't you get a media pass?" So he's a bit hopeless with money, but we love him. He's crazy.
Well, you know what? Look at the bright side. Look at the bright side. Those $450 are not ones that he's going to put down on a bet that later on you go back and say, "Boy, I wish I hadn't told him that." Because I know you said that once this year where he kind of, you know, there was one that he'd put something on where you're like, oh, that was not a good one.
So, you know, he admits he's got a problem. That's all right. He calls himself a degenerate gambler, and he's probably on over $100,000 a year in his job, and that's his job giving sports picks. So yeah, as long as he's happy, it's all good. But yeah, careful betting.
As long as, yeah, and you know, have fun with it. You'll definitely be very, very responsible with it. You know, yeah. We're starting to see more and more wagering ads showing up on television here in the U.S. They're starting to creep in a little bit more. You know, they're all over, as we know, they're all over on the AFL commercials and such during the games, but and even during the television broadcast as well. But hey, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I hope the weather has cooled down a little bit for you, because I know it was really toasty the last time we spoke.
Yeah, it has. The cool changes come in. But, yeah, that was a tough stretch, up to 30, 35 for 2 weeks straight. And it felt like 40 up here. But that's over 100, your Fahrenheit language.
Yeah, yeah, we were down to about 20, 21 degrees Celsius today here. It was a beautiful day. I mean, I get to school early and open up the windows. And I have a door that opens up to my parking lot right outside my classroom. So I put the fan in the door and blow in the cool air to cool off my classroom, because my classroom is typically like the Goldilocks room. It's either too hot or too cold. It's never just right. Like the old Goldilocks and the Three Bears story. Well, Mick, hey man, have a great week. I love talking to you. This is a great deal of fun, and I'm looking forward to sitting down with you again next week, and we'll see who the Swans and the Cats are playing, because it could be it. Yeah, this is going to be a terrific weekend of football.
Absolutely, and I'll be keeping an eye on the players that put their mouth guard in their sock when they kick for goal, because it's unnecessary, filthy, and it drives me nuts. So have a great weekend, mate, and I hope you are right with your picks, and I hope I am wrong. See you later, man.
There you go. Cheers, Mick.
All right, Mick, that was a lot of fun, man. You know, a little bit of sad news today, and it's it is what it is. And I sent out my condolences to my friends in Australia. Now, I know not everybody is a fan of the royal family, but overall, you know, this is somebody who has been, you know, in the spotlight for, well, quite frankly, almost a century, and spent 70 years as you know, the monarch of the United Kingdom. But folks, again, if you want to help out the show, you can head over to my website, yankonthefooty.com. You can find everything regarding my socials. Hopefully you'll consider leaving me a review. You can also get on the mailing list there, so when new episodes come out, I can get those sent out to you immediately. Please look out for one another. I know this is right around the time of the Are You Okay Day in Australia. And while I haven't necessarily done that, I do give the mentions every week about the checking up on one another. So I'm doing that each and every week because I think it's very important. As a school teacher who deals with, you know, kids who are anywhere between 14 and 18 years old, there are a lot of issues that students and kids tend to have. In the last couple of years, it's certainly been exacerbated by COVID and the impact that that's had on the world. But check up on your friends, check up on your family, let them know you love them, see if they're okay. Let them know you're okay. Go get a coffee with them. Go get a donut or a, you know, a meat pie or whatever. And do me a favor. You know, you can certainly send me a note and tell me how great the meat pies taste. And you can also remind me of just how much you like donuts, because I haven't had a donut for well over a year. And you know what? I don't miss them. So, folks, again, look out for one another. I appreciate the kind words and your support. And as always, may your dribble kick never, ever hit that post. I will catch you later. This has been episode 200 of A Yank on the Footy. Again, don't forget that you can reach me at ayankonthefooty@gmail.com, and you can check out all my socials over on my website, ayankonthefooty.com. You can find me on Twitter at @yank_Ron, A Yank on the Footy podcast on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook and on LinkedIn as well. And folks, I do hope you'll consider sharing the episode with your friends and family, and may your team have a fantastic game this weekend. And if your team's not playing, I hope they stay healthy, or I hope they start figuring out the direction they're going in the trade period, which is coming up very, very soon. Again, thanks for listening. And again, give it a share. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Craig Wessels, and this has been episode 200. I honestly cannot believe I made it that far. See you later. Goodbye.